Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 254, part 1, Wounded. Today is Friday, August 10th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's message is entitled, Wounded. And again, let me say, we are in an age where the Antichrist spirit is gathering forces. I've been praying a lot for Oral Roberts, and I see on the news that his prayers were answered, and he raised his money. I'm really glad about that. I'm thinking about all the years this man has been in ministry and how quickly people are to forget all the things that have been brought about by Oral. All the suffering and the children that have died and all the agonies of ministry and so on and going on and going on and going on. And he's older now. And I just got a release in my spirit. I said, and it was a fellow sent the money in. He was owned a racetrack. So, you know, God raises up whoever he's going to raise up to help. And then I see on the news where another fellow was wounded. And he handed over his ministry. And I thought, well, he should be able to present the problem. And the Christian should say, well, that's in the past. Let's go on. But that doesn't happen, does it? That's where the legalism comes in, and that's where it ruins and destroys. And I would hope that he would reconsider and say, well, hey, I'm going to go on. I mean, to fight the good fight, you're going to have a few defeats. And you're going to be dismayed at times, and you're going to be wounded at times, but you must go on. Because the Bible says that the devil is out here to rob and kill and destroy man's spirit. To discourage, to defeat, to to tear down and slander. Proverbs 18 and 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Now, becoming Christ-like at times brings out the worst in your enemies. Pray for them, the Bible says. Every egg that they have hatched, every chicken that they have hatched is going to come running back to them, full grown, pecking away like crazy. Every chicken, everything that's designed against a fellow, will come back to roost. And as he has brewed, so let him drink. And then the Bible says he will be judged by his own mercies. But I think sooner or later we all have some kind of an infirmity to bear. You may be born with it, you listening on the radio. You may be inclined to have certain physical problems. Maybe you were born blind. Maybe you have hay fever or flat feet or a bad heart or a nervous problem. All kinds of ailments. And then again, we may be physically perfect but have an infirmity of mind. At the bread run yesterday, which was a colossal thing. I mean, there were people, weren't there a lot of people there yesterday? God had blessed with all of this food, and I looked out and I thought, wow, look at the total despair on a lot of these faces. And it started to rain and some hail fell. And I thought, what they really need here is an encouragement through Christ. This must be the menu of the day. So I spent my time going up and down the lines encouraging. But there will also be things a person would alter about his infirmity if he could. Like, give your infirmity away. Or wish to be dead. Now, little children even wish that sometimes. Never think that a child doesn't have his infirmities. He's born with them. We all from birth on bear infirmities, burdens. But he may not have any kind of a physical or mental infirmity, yet he has a cross to bear of some kind. In his relatives, parents, kids, mate, in his business, in the finances of that business. A lot of times people think that because others have money, they have no infirmities. Brings a whole new set of problems, believe me, I came out of it. Brings a lot of fears. Brings a lot of pressures, and many times I wished that I was mopping the floors instead of paying for them. But in certain circumstances also, how many know by now that this world is not the Garden of Eden? No, it wasn't intended to be. Who'd ever want to go to heaven anyway? You don't have to say amen. You can just say ouch. Don't try to make this old world the Garden of Eden. You'll grow old before the thing happens. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. Because the snake is evident everywhere. Every man is appointed trials. Well, you say like a child, I know a few have no kind of trials. Doesn't it seem like we all have the little child in us all the time when we're going through some kind of a thing? Those pressures make it show up. Or a sickness makes it show up. Or if we felt that we have been left out, it shows up. But we are the same the world over, having the same problems wherever in the world they may be. Yesterday, some of our Hmong friends had piled up bags all along the thing, and they're very inventive, and they're very go-get-it, you know, and I like that in them. But they didn't speak English, so some of what I was saying they didn't understand, so I just took the bags, and I thought, well, if they'll pile them up, I'll take the bags and put them on the bus, and that way they'll take their bags and take them to their cars, and they won't just load up a whole grocery store over to the side. And this little Hmong woman come up, and she looked at me, she says, "Kaya konkita konkita kanka kuku." And I said, "My Lord, seems like no matter what language women talk, they all get on my case." But you can have a lot of fun with that. And I said, Paul says, if we be without chastisement, whereof all, I'm talking about the true seed of the Lord, are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Now, I don't want to have that name hung on me. I would much rather join Paul in saying, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then again, remember, great is your reward in heaven. Oh, we hate to say that. Well, come on, I want a little jewels down here. Yes, I said every man will have to bear some infirmity. Now, to bear an infirmity is not difficult when the spirit is sound and strong. Because the Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So let me first then try and answer the question, what is that sound spirit which will sustain a man's infirmities? Well, now we see unsaved people, and to some degree, they have such a spirit. You look in the Bible at the Romans of old, they were diehard people, weren't they? One burned off his hand to prove a point. And we read many heroic stories about man's spirit, about the natural man. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. And so whatever burden was put on some men, they endured it. They had brave hearts, no matter what. And yet, if we knew more of these people, we would find at some point their natural strength failed them. When I was very much in the world and out there working and hustling the buck, people would say, you know, there's a guy that isn't afraid of anything. My army buddies always said that. My biggest fear was, and I've said this before, I must say it again. My biggest fear was is that they would find out that I was afraid of most everything. Can you relate? But some seem to have brave hearts no matter what. But at some point, their natural strength failed them. They call it the straw that broke the camel's back. And Satan waits for that. Just about got him. Give me that straw. Let me show you a little trick. You demons are giving up too quickly. Now, you feel like that? Now, only God can offer a flawless power and endurance for the physical and the mental and the spiritual warfare. Not to say that you won't get down at times. Not to say that you'll always say the right things all of the time, but you catch yourself. Every human being has a breaking point. Oh, how we need to learn to rely with the power within. That spiritual peace, that small, still voice inside that gives you peace every time. It's the only one that will bring you peace. It's the only one that will give direction, and I've ministered to hundreds over a course of 15 years. Thousands of people in evangelizing, I've seen crowds just totally freed through deliverance ministries. By the word of the Lord. But David truly said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. That power belongeth to God. And we as Christians are more, it says, than overcomers through Christ who strengthens us. But oftentimes we forget that, don't we? Our minds and our bodies and our spirits can bear tremendous loads through Christ. Tremendous loads. And then again, the Bible says He never gives us too much to bear. The only thing is when you build up spiritual muscles, He gives you more. He quickens you, but He gives you more to bear. He knows just how to load you during times of stress. He knows just how much you can take. And so as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and become a faithful minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I hope preachers are listening to this message, God will give you more of a burden to bear, more of a burden for souls. And then the warfare starts. Sometimes we love to play the part of the martyr, though, don't we? It's like when we were kids and we got hurt. And we go stumbling in the house, maybe got hit in the back of the head by a, you know, overripe tomato or a potato or a stone even. You get inside the house and you want this sympathy, see? Whoa! Whoa! Nobody answers. Stop and look around. You hear a little creak on the boards upstairs, you start all over again. Oh! Huh? Isn't that funny? You got hit in the head, but you always limp. Oh! Oh! Huh? You know, folks come down and you can even swear. Get away with it. And you look up and you say, beep, 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 beep. You got away with it. So then you go back into it. Beep, 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 huh? Oh, how we love to play the part of the martyr. How many are hearing this? But the spirit which will best bear the infirmities is first of all a gracious spirit wrought in us by the Spirit of God. If we would then bear our trouble without complaining, if we would sustain our burden without fainting, if we would mount up with wings such as of an eagle, if we would run without weariness, and walk without fainting. Of course, then we're talking about you must be born again. You must be living together with Him. And by His implanted life, He gives us strength. And oh, we're going to need that in the end time. We're going to have to rely on that more and more and more. We're going to have to learn the meaning of becoming Christ-like, to bear burdens. See, we have His eagle nature, not one of a mouse. They only run from one hole to the next. It seems like people are always trying to invent the better mouse trap, so mount up with these wings, eagle's wings. Mouses don't fly. Nothing outside of Jesus Christ will stand the wear and tear of this world and the trials and the tribulations and the troubles and the woes that are about to begin and have already started. And so the only way to sustain your infirmity is to have a gracious spirit. A spirit renewed by grace. Now, let me say something here. Every day, get a new supply of grace. Let's call it manna. Daily bread. Daily life. Daily help. Daily hunger and thirst after righteousness. Don't try to attain it all and store it up. It can't be so. Daily cope, daily problems, overcome daily. Don't try to heap burdens on yourself and carry them around. We have to remind ourselves of that all the time, don't we? You can't even accept a blessing if you're busy carrying all these big burdens around. I'm sorry, I can't accept a blessing. I got all these big bags of burdens. But also, I think a sound spirit which can sustain infirmity will be a spirit cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because conscience does not make cowards of all of us all the time. A conscience cleansed by the blood and made free by the blood can sustain our infirmities, and it can also say, I am at rest. I have peace. I may have a headache or a backache or a broken leg. So what? My sins are forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven. What else matters anyway? Even in the physical, people work towards Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Why don't we have a goal and a purpose and a plan? We do. Why do we always lay it aside to play the part of the martyr? And so lock me up with bread and water as a menu. Let moss grow on my feet. Because you see, as long as I am sure I am cleansed from my sin by the precious blood of the Lamb, I can bear it. Keep your mind stayed on Christ and that your sins are forgiven daily. Because it's nothing compared to the terrors that have to be endured when the awakened conscience sees its sin. And God is dealing with us. I would much rather endure physical pangs than endure the wrath of God in my spirit. Of course, you don't know anything about what I'm talking about here, do you, radio audience? Some here today. How well I remember God dealing with my awakened conscience when I first got born again. Oh, I didn't know it at first. I was all full of froth and bubble and so on. But after about a week and a half or 2 weeks, when my conscience started to stir and was awakened by the Holy Ghost, And I started to retrospect, and I started to look back in rearview mirror what I had done in my life. Oh, what a thing that was. But a greater feeling was when my understanding was increased. And I knew that God loved me no matter what, and that Jesus died for me, and that I was fully pardoned. Let me say that again. Fully pardoned. And you know, the more I grow, the greater this revelation becomes to me. Take my sins away and give me a spirit then washed in the fountain with blood, and I can patiently go through anything and everything, the Lord helping me. I never want to return again to those terrors of that first awakened conscience. I shall count my blessings one by one. And so this kind of a spirit that a man needs to sustain his infirmity is one which has been renewed by the Holy Ghost. And washed, I said, by the precious blood of the Lamb. But then next, it is a spirit which exercises itself daily unto growing confidence in God. You know, the spirit that is to sustain infirmity is not a spirit of doubt and fear and mistrust. Such a spirit has no power. It's a body with no bone or muscle, and its strength lies in its believing. It'd be like this. It'd be like this right here, this cloak, this bathrobe. Limp, no believing, no real substance, no bone, no gristle, no muscle, nothing. Oh, how we fear failure. You can't fail once that you've had the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what happens to you. Count yourself as a winner. Count yourself as the beloved in Christ. Isn't that enough after all? When it comes right down to it. I mean, you could have everything that the world gives and be totally miserable. And so he who can work, and he who can suffer, he who can go on and on and on, is the one that's washed by the blood and knows where he's at. The spirit that can sustain a man in his infirmity is the spirit that can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Come what may, I will not doubt my God. For his word is strong and steadfast. Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. See, these are the things we really have to lean towards, because everything else is going to dissipate and disappear. And I believe if God calls you to battle, I'm sure you'd want to have on the full armor of God, wouldn't you? And so then our spirit must be a renewed spirit, blood washed, a believing blood washed spirit, if we are to sustain infirmities. And then let me add also, I believe that no spirit can so well endure sickness, loss, trial, sorrow, as the perfectly consecrated spirit. You don't do that by yourself. I mean a man who is free from all secondary motives, who lives only for God's glory. And sometimes you lose your reputation trying to follow that hard line. Maybe when he's sick, he says, how can I glorify God in this bed of sickness? Just like Don just said, how sold out are you? If he is in health, how can I glorify God in my vigor? Sometimes we forget about God when we're all full of vigor. If he is rich, he asks, how can I glorify God with my possessions, which he has put under my stewardship? If he is poor, he says, there must be some advantage about my poverty. How can I best use it to glorify God? He doesn't look to comfort himself, which, of course, is a never-ending, time-consuming, non-productive flop, always. Can you satisfy yourself? No. You can go buy a new car. You get out there. How do you like your car? Well, I like it, but I wish I would have bought that kind. Right? Well, I like the airplane, if I may. I like the airplane, but I wish I would have got the one with the automatic pilot and all the gizmos with it, you know. You cannot satisfy the flesh. It's a never-ending, time-consuming, non-productive flop always. Well, how do you like your new house by now? Oh, I hate it. Hate the neighborhood. Hate the neighbors. They got this dog. It's trained to come over in our yard, you know what I mean? Trained to come over and go and then leave. If you know what I mean? Oh, I just love the clothes you wear. Oh, I'm sick of these clothes. This is just an old thing. I don't care what women have on. It's always an old thing. Oh, this old thing? Where do you shop? At a secondhand store all the time? Can you satisfy yourself when you eat? You go out and eat. God, I wish I wouldn't eat all that. Now I'm good and miserable. Can't satisfy yourself. Self is never satisfied. Well, there's something more I want. Bring the dessert tray. Right, Mick? Remember that dessert tray they brought us? There was something more I wanted. I mean, I was so full I couldn't eat anything else, but something was missing. I said, bring on the sweet tray. I felt like a Roman emperor. She brings this tray of goodies, you know, and it had deep dish apple pie in it. And it had chocolate cake. It was so chocolate it couldn't get more chocolate. Then it had pecan pie that was full of pecans. And of course, then you had to have a dip or two of ice cream to go with it. Now, oh, that'll really satisfy us. I left there, you know, and I thought, there's something missing. And I went home and I had a bowl of cornflakes. And that didn't do it, so I had some hamburger buns left, some old dried-up hamburger buns, and I put some of this peanut butter on them. Tried to swallow that, and I thought, oh, man, now I need something to drink. It's a lot of work taking care of yourself, let me tell you. Now, we got to see how... We must see how we more successfully, let's say, Fight the battles of the Lord. Get our minds on that. I think a soldier who is in fight must not enter into business of his own. That's hard to do, isn't it? Put on the full armor of God. What for? To fight with your wife? No, fight the battles for Christ. Paul wrote to Timothy, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." It's a pretty heavy word, isn't it? And then I believe a true soldier of the cross says, "Forward for the Lord, over hill, over dale. We will hit the dusty trail as those Christians go rolling along. And if need be, we will have to give our lives for the cause of Jesus Christ." What is your life? What are you willing to give? Now, I know there will be people listening on the radio that will just totally turn off on this. But I do believe the perfectly consecrated spirit will enable a man to sustain his infirmity. But then again, that selfish spirit will weaken him. He'll begin to complain on how much work and responsibility that he has. He will begin to howl and lament. He will become critical and nasty. He will become bitter and hateful. And he will not be made strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Get your eyes off of your flesh, radio audience, and what's happening to you. Okay, then, so much then about the sound spirit that can sustain an infirmity. May we all have such a sound spirit. But I wonder how many of us do have it. Hey, someone call me. I do have a right mind and a right body. I'm sane. Seems like when you talk about insanity, people go insane. I think we should talk about it. I think there's a lot of insanity going on. I think one degree off of Christ is insanity. I mentioned that Friday night. There are many mentals. I'll get letters on it. I said there are many mentals in the body of Jesus Christ. The shuffling along in hospital gowns and slippers. That will get a raise. I'm looking for a raise. How can you make someone well when they don't know they're sick? I mean, the things that Christians are doing to each other are definitely sick. Ward material. Shuffling along the gown. They don't even know the gown isn't even closed in the back. Shuffling along with these bedroom slippers from one hall of one fellowship hall to the next. One ward to the next ward. Huh? One sick body to the next sick body, and they're moving along, and you know what? A lot of them had wearied in doing well. You ever seen someone, I said Friday night, that got weary? It's insanity when you get weary in doing well. You don't think straight, you don't act right. You're consumed with the idea that you might look bad, and you overreact when you're a little bit sick, trying to prove you aren't sick. You ever try to prove you weren't sick when you are sick? When you say you lost your voice. I didn't lose my voice. You know, I mean, you know, it's evident. It's evident that there's a whole lot of sickness in the body of Christ. Praise God, we have the great physician. Why don't we use him? Why don't we admit there's a lot of mental things in the body of Christ? Whew. Well, he says, isn't being sane something nowadays? I said, what's sane? Sanity is having the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Well, I do have Jesus, but I think this and this and this. He got into a whole lot of legal entanglements and he got himself sick again. His voice started cracking and he started breaking down, and I said, man, why don't you just receive the finished work and really get sane and straight and on the right road? Don't always worry about making a mistake so you'll look bad. Now you've made yourself God. Isn't that true? Isn't that insanity to have life eternal and have an abundant life and then go around claiming, I fell, I'm going to hell, I know it, huh? What a confession! No, we need spiritual health, I'm talking about. The day will come when you need more than the law. More than physical and mental vigor. Because that certain arrow will surely find you out, that spot. And the adversary will pierce your soul. And find that little niche. The Bible says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? If we're weary in this foot race, and this is sort of a casual race that we're in right now, what are we going to do when the war horses show up? And we have to run with the horses.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast. That was episode 254. That was part one, Wounded. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land,
Then don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changin'.